Hello and welcome to What's Next in Social Sciences podcast. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast episodes and for continuously supporting us. This podcast aims to discuss career prospects and challenges for students and early career professionals in social sciences. I'm your host Archana.
And I'm your co-host Nirupama. We recently interviewed two core members of the Women in Economics and Policy group, which is actually a group of working professionals in the development sector in India. Just like this podcast, this group, they're also a pandemic baby, which was formed 1 year ago. Having started out with just a few members, today it is a large community of women who share important resources, opportunities, and support each other. They have job listings, they have a very successful newsletter, they organize lectures, and are in plans of doing many more things. So as we share a common goal, which is of making people aware of opportunities and helping them make informed choices about their careers in this space, we knew that we had to connect with them and invite them for an interview.
Yeah, so the conversation we had with Smriti and Anahita, the two core members of Women in Economics and Policy, turned out to be extremely insightful that we're releasing them over two episodes. And thanks to Nirupama for actually pointing them out to me. And here we are doing a podcast with them. This episode basically introduces the Women in Economics and Policy group, how and why it was started. And you can expect discussions on some of their exciting plans for the near future. We also discuss the larger issue of the need for representation within the development sector, and the important role that communities such as this play in ensuring it.
Yeah, I think that is such an important conversation that needs to be had just way more often and in much more avenues.
Yeah, and I'm glad we got to speak with them, Nirupama. We've already spoken about the importance of being connected to the right people in one of our previous episodes on networking, which is also one of our most listened to podcast episodes. So communities such as this ensure that some of the barriers that exist in, say, getting jobs or scholarships, etc., are reduced. And the icing on the cake is that it's community of all women. That is quite exciting. So let's listen to the conversation to know more about the insightful and exciting things that happen on this platform.
Thank you so much, Nirupama, for having us today. I can start with my introduction. My name is Anahita Karandikar, and I'm currently working as a research associate at the Behavioral Development Lab, which is housed at JPAL South Asia. I have an undergraduate degree in economics from Ferguson College, Pune University, and a master's degree also in economics from Ashoka University. Before joining JPAL as an RA, I worked as an intern with the same set of researchers that I'm currently RAing for.
I am Smriti, and I currently work as an International Innovation Corps Fellow at the University of Chicago, where I'm primarily working with the planning department of the Delhi government and helping them curb tax evasion. And prior to this, I worked as a research analyst at International Food Policy Research Institute, where I was overseeing few RCTs and a few secondary data studies in Nepal, Bangladesh, and parts of India. I hold a master's in economics from JNU, and my undergrad was also in economics. It was from Hindu College in Delhi University.
Tell us a little bit about Women in Econ Policy. When was it started, and you know what exactly it does?
Sure. It was set up in June 2020 by Prerna Kundu and Prashansa Shravasta, who are both RAs at JPAL. And the idea behind creating the group was essentially to create a community of women who work in the economics and policy space. It was basically motivated by this idea to bring women in the space together and create a space that's free and inclusive, where, you know, everybody that comes together can help each other learn and grow. We recently turned one, and our membership has crossed 1,000. Over the past year, the group has done a bunch of different activities, from hosting events with leading academics and researchers and policy practitioners, to setting up a newsletter that recently sent out its 16th edition. We've conducted panel sessions and coffee hours to support members in their professional development, job database, as well as skill building workshops and so on. And in the next year, what we look forward to doing is setting up a blog, a podcast, and rolling out the Young Women in Economics program, which Smriti will talk about a little bit more.
All of this is really fascinating, and I want to take this chance to congratulate you on turning one. And I've been following the updates and, you know, the newsletter and all of that. And yeah, it's just really interesting and looking forward to everything that is going to come out of this. Yeah, so I wanted to understand, you know, what was the aim behind starting this group? What was the thought process that went into creating this group, and why you think it's important to have a community for women in this space?
Yeah, so I clearly remember when Prerna and Prashansa had rolled out the sign-up form for the community, and it was about, I think, the lockdown had just started. And I came across the message and I thought, okay, this is going to be another networking space. But there was this tag of, you know, a woman-only space. So I was like, okay, this seems more safer. And I had this inclination, okay, I'll sign up for this. And we started out roughly, I think about 70, 80 people signed up. And that was also surprising for both the founders. We started off with acquainting ourselves with each other. And both the founders allowed the members to create the space that they wanted to. So we had the freedom to, you know, because now we had roughly about like 60, 70, 80 people who were trying to learn the same skills. We could tap on each other and, you know, create sessions around that. So we kind of narrowed down on the skills we wanted to learn. And we also thought about like, if, you know, we have more younger members, then what are the skills that may be of use to them? So I remember there was initially one session on admissions in policy schools in the US. Then there was one full program for our training. And one of our members also did an overview of the consulting sector. Into the group for about 2 to 3 months, and we all realized how easy it was to be able to seek help here. And this help kind of ranged from job applications to even like tough econometric questions. And also personal matters. Like, I remember this one incident where one of our members wanted to decline going to work when COVID was raging, but she was reluctant because she just didn't know how to say it politely and not upset people around her. I mean, yeah, these are the issues we unfortunately have to navigate. But as you know, as women, we all know, we think 100 times before responding. And that is one where, like, you know, the community jumped in and we all thought of, like, we all brainstormed what would be the best way to approach this situation. And from there to here, like, it's been a year of our community. We've helped each other out in so many ways. So of all the groups that I'm a part of, I feel like the most comfortable asking for help, sharing opinions, sharing what I feel about things with this particular community.
Yeah, I think a lot of wonderful things came out of, you know, the lockdown, when people suddenly didn't have to commute anymore and they had a lot of time in hand when they were working from home. While there were so many challenges and so many difficulties to deal with, there was also for some people a chance to do more with their day and to sort of form more meaningful connections. And yeah, so I'm really glad that this group, this initiative came out of it. And I love to see these communities of women who are lifting each other up, who are supporting each other. I think that's the best kind of communities that exist.
Yeah, and if I could just add, to me, you know, the group means a lot of different things, but it there are sort of two big key roles that I think the group performs, at least in my life. And I think these are partly sort of due to the founders and a very active organizing committee that is steering the group or setting up activities and so on, but also just the members themselves. It's very largely just each and every person who has signed up for this group and is involved in some capacity. Firstly, I think just this group is a huge platform for information exchange, and often this information tends to be very tailored to, you know, problems unique to women in the econ and policy space. And I personally find that very valuable. So like Smriti was telling us, just these examples of, you know, issues that members face, where there's this space where you can just post a question and you can receive very immediate and very genuine feedback and inputs from other members almost immediately. And we find that there are information gaps in almost every area of work. What should my CV look like? How should I convey something to my boss? What data manipulation software should I be learning? So many different things that we don't get direct answers to that now you can kind of access because of this group. And, you know, like from hiring to preparation to wage negotiations, it's a huge resource. And it's a hugely adaptable resource. So during the COVID crisis, for example, it just became a group where people were sharing links to COVID resources. So it kind of molds itself to provide information that members are looking for at that time, which I find is extremely, extremely valuable and useful. And I think the second thing that seems very important to me that has come out of this group is just this very strong sense of community and collective solidarity. I feel like sometimes research work or even development work, it can often be very lonely and isolating. And just having this group of people who are, you know, working in the same space as you, facing to some extent similar problems as you and willing to help each other out, it's this feeling of, you know, oneness that I find incredibly valuable. And, you know, we've made friends here. We've found mentors. We've connected on things beyond careers and academics. And I think just had access to opportunities that otherwise wouldn't have come our way. And I think that's just been truly very, very valuable.
That all sounds really great. And I'm actually looking forward to some of the things that you mentioned you are planning to come up with in the future, like the podcast, for instance. So I want to take a moment to talk about diversity in the development sector. So first of all, is there diversity in the development sector? And secondly, how important it is to have diversity, especially in this sector. And, you know, what is the role of groups such as Beacon Policy and other groups that exist in this space in promoting diversity?
Thanks for asking this question, Nirupama. This is a discussion that most people shy away from because it pushes them out of their comfort. Because diversity for people is easy to read on paper, but much difficult to implement when it comes to their work and their organizations. And I'll kind of approach this in a structured manner. One, talking about, you know, what really is diversity and where are we in terms of it. And so diversity is of many kinds. And I will focus on what it means to be diverse in India. And that can be kind of assessed on, like, by answering a few questions. Questions like, do you have members from minority religions? What is the caste breakup of your organization? And are you creating a safe space for LGBTQ community? Now, when you look at these three questions and then assess the space, the diversity of development sector in general, that encompasses research organizations, funders, also consulting organizations, we as a sector are not diverse. We are not at all diverse. The call for diversity and the discussion around the lack of diversity in the space has only started in my understanding, I think, in my knowledge, in the last 1 to 2 years, and actively so after the formation of one, Bahujan Economists, and two, the unfortunate the Hathras rape incident. And, you know, research here has a very weird position that way, because one, you've been working on caste for years. But if you look at who are these people who are leading these studies, who are the people who are assisting in making these studies successful, none of them come from these the communities that they're trying to study. My point is that none of these organizations have representation from Bahujan communities, and Bahujan communities comprising of OBCs, SCs, and STs. And caste is just one factor here. I also refer to minority religions. I also referred to LGBTQ community. We lack on all of these fronts. And I will call forth one part of my identity here, which is I am a Bahujan. And personally, for me, it has been extremely disappointing to not have found identities like mine in this space. And I know that Anahita and Prashansa did this survey of research analysts. And, this is to bring in data here from the field that I work in. And they did this RA survey of, I think, roughly about 100-150 RAs working in the development sector in the country. And the caste breakup, their finding on that was that there were roughly 10% RAs who were from Bahujan communities from the total sample. Now, compare this to the 70% of the population of this country that is a Bahujan. So this is the gap that we're talking about. This is the mismatch that we're talking about. And mind you, it is extremely critical that there be representation in this sector. One, because this is the sector that feeds into the policies that reach the beneficiaries. So this is the sector which will then recommend policies to the policymaker and say that, you know, you could do this with the nutrition program. But the end beneficiaries of these programs are likely to be the Bahujan communities only. So if you do not have people from them working within these spaces, how will you really understand the hurdles that these communities face? And you can also compare it to the racial research in America. I mean, wouldn't one be amazed if all the literature on race in America was coming only from white people? I have seen students dropping out. I have seen students really settling down with the menial, like, you know, the jobs that they think they could get their hands on, because there was no one around to work with them on their technical skills, or to tell them, hey, this is how you approach this. And so many students dropped out because of this. And as a sector, we do not really try to make ourselves inclusive. So we don't even see this as a problem. We only hire people who only apply to us. We never see that, hey, we are lacking, you know, perspectives from so many communities in the country. And to address that, actually, few groups have come up, mostly in the sphere of caste. Or at least that is to my knowledge, and I hope there are more groups operating for other areas as well. Bahujan Economists is one, and I'm a member of that as well. And we work with the young economists who are Bahujans, who understand the space, and, you know, to ease their way into this space, for them to be able to access resources. Then there is Rethinking Economics Initiative, which works with Heterodox Econ. Then there is Equity in Policy Education, which kind of helps Bahujan students reach for to apply to policy schools in the states. So we are also leading one initiative to bring diversity in this space, which is called the Young Women in Economics program. We do it more so because we realize that our members happen to be all from metropolitans and happen to be all from like central universities or students from foreign universities. So you understand, right, that this also then becomes an echo chamber. So when we realized this, we were like, we need to reach out to students in state universities who don't even know what we're doing, who don't even know the recent developments in this space and the opportunities in this space. So to start out, we conducted two pilots. One was with the postgraduate students at MCM College in Punjab University. And the second one was with undergraduate students at St. Anthony's College in Shillong. And we were trying to help them access information to tell them that there are jobs that exist apart from the conventional government jobs that they've been aiming for. Our aim was that by the time they come out on the job market, they should know that different jobs exist and they should know how to prepare for these jobs and they should apply. So we have been providing them consistent support on that, and we will be. We aim to also scale this pilot up this year with more state university students, where we're also kind of making sure that we have representation from LGBTQ community and also Bahujans. No matter how many efforts we as these smaller initiatives make, this problem of lack of diversity and representation is going to persist if the employers do not act on this. You know, employers cannot sit about and say, we do not discriminate, we are open to having everyone on board. You need to be able to put in efforts to make your hiring more inclusive, to make it representative. So one, there needs to be more research done on how representative we are as a sector. And then this research needs to be action oriented. This research shouldn't be like any other research which just sits in one of the files. It should be one on which employers act, that there needs to be an effort that has to come from their end. And on that front, I'd like to mention, like, Good Business Lab, for that matter, has started an internship program for Bahujan students. So it is important that employers will start taking efforts in this direction. And these efforts, for one, could include, just as Good Business Lab, like, you know, internship programs exclusive for these communities. Second, spending more time in mentoring these students and also imparting them with technical skills so that they can also, you know, learn and go back with valuable skill set. And then they become equivalent of any other student of any other community that's in there.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think you definitely made a lot of important points. And, you know, this discussion is something that needs to be had, but is often not had, like you pointed out in the beginning. And yeah, I really hope that, you know, programs like the Young Women in Economics program, I think more of that starts in India, because, you know, I went to, my undergrad was in a small town where I am from, and the college that I went to, I could really see the difference in, you know, the opportunities that students were aware of and the exposure that they got. It's just very starkly different from how it is in metro cities. And yeah, that's of course just the regional disparities. And there are so many other inequalities that exist, like you rightly mentioned. So I want to thank you for talking about this.
Nirupama, I thoroughly enjoyed knowing the kind of work they do, and they have a very solid foundation in terms of what they would like to present to people. And it's not just one thing, but like a bouquet of things that come together on their platform, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, their work is really interesting. I love what they do and their principles, and, you know, just enjoyed the conversation that we had with them. For listeners, make sure to listen to the next episode where we get to hear Smriti and Anahita's incredibly helpful insights, tips, as well as advice for young professionals and students in the developing sector. If you want to check them out, they have a website. They're also very active on LinkedIn, Twitter, etc. And they've recently also started, they've joined Clubhouse, and they plan to conduct a lot of rooms there. They have a newsletter as well, and they have WhatsApp groups that once you sign up the membership form, you can become a part of. So all of this is free as well. So you should definitely check it out. If you're a person that works in the development sector and you identify as a woman, you should join this space.
Well, on that note, if you're listening to this, we'd also love to work on the topics that you guys suggest. So do connect with us and let us know what you'd like us to cover.
As always, I'm here with a disclaimer. The thoughts and ideas that we share in this podcast, they're our own, Archana's and mine, and we do not represent the institution and organization that we work for. For more such resourceful episodes on social sciences and humanities, click follow on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or whatever app you get your podcasts on. Reach out to us if you have any queries. You can find our LinkedIn profiles in our blogs, and we love to answer your questions. If you like what you heard, share it on social media and do spread the word. Thank you so much for tuning in today.